Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design, the podcast that dives deep into the heart of thriving through pregnancy, birth, and beyond. If you aspire towards exceptional parenthood and are looking to navigate the joys and challenges of raising children in our fast-paced world, you've found your tribe. I'm Philippa Scott and
I'm Philippa Cox. Together we're Philippa Squared. Unpacking the real talk on modern parenting, peeling back the layers of its complexity from pregnancy and birth to the adventures beyond. This podcast is your guide to unraveling the nuances of parenting in today's world.
And we're keeping it real, sharing stories and having conversations with insightful guests, giving you clarity and direction on your parenting journey.
This is where your adventure begins. Transforming the challenge into a journey of wonder and joy, where you discover ways to craft your own parenthood map, not just follow the one handed down to you.
So settle in, get comfy, and let's laugh, learn, and grow into the parent you aspire to be. Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design.
Hello, hello. This is Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design. You're joining Pippa Cox, pregnancy and birth coach and ex-midwife, and Philippa Scott, birth and parenting coach. Sorry, I had to think about that. And doula of 20 years, doing very few births anymore. So we are coming to talk to you. Hello, Pippa.
Hello, Philippa. What are we talking about today? You were just about to say it.
I'm going to say hello.
Buddy.
Today we're talking about partners at birth. What is the role of partners at birth? And like, I'm really passionate about this because, you know, most of us, not all, but most of us go into a pregnancy and the start of having a family with a partner who, in today's world, is meant to be a part of it all, meant to be a part of being at the birth and being an integral and important part. And they can be, but there are some issues to overcome. There are some things to get around. Now, I used to get this very often, particularly in my early doula career, and it does still happen, where dads would say, "What do you want a doula for? You've got me. Oh, I can help you." And I would often, if I got the chance to sit down with dad, I'd say, "Mate, my job's actually to make you look good. My job is to make it so that when your partner looks over, you know, when you're giving your partner a hug afterwards and she's saying, 'Oh my gosh, you were such an amazing support,' over her shoulder, you look at me and you wink and go, 'Thank you,' right? But she never needs to know that because I'm just your toolbox, right? I'm there to make you look like you know what you're doing, right? And so, and I guess I firmly believe, and maybe it's because I grew up the story of my own birth. My dad was the first one allowed in the birthing room in Victor Harbor Hospital for my birth. And my mum talks about that as being he was there, but he really didn't do anything useful. He was just cracking jokes the whole time, right? So had no understanding of the process or the kind of atmosphere to create or any of those things. His thing is to make a joke, and that's what he did. Mm-hmm. And he still tells really bad dad jokes. Anyway, very proud of himself for his ability to not laugh through a dad joke. But he wasn't really very helpful in terms of being there for my mum. So I really want to talk about this because partners are such a big thing. And having had a partner at my own births, his was a journey. His involvement, his learning, all of that was a journey. And I very much wanted to bring around him the support that he needed to be able to show up for me in the right way. And having been teaching beer and bubs and things like that, you know, I really want to focus on this idea that they have a role, but what is it? What have you seen, or have you got any funny stories to tell us, Pippa, about dads in the room? Because you've been at a lot of births, and I imagine there's a lot of dads.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the dads that do really, really well at the birth are the dads that, A, are familiar with the process of birth. What is happening? What is happening to my lovely's body? What is it? And so when they have an understanding of the evolution of the labor, when they have an understanding of what they're going through, of the labor land that they end up in, it gives them a sense of understanding. And so with the tools that you give your dads and that I give my dads, you know, they love that because then they're able to help. They've got something in their toolbox that they can actually help their loved one with.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Totally. I think
you know, because let's face it. Yeah, because guys, any guys that are watching out there, we love you, but there's so much, there's, you guys are from Mars and we are from Venus. And the one thing that we do notice about you men is that you guys love to fix things, which is fantastic, which is awesome, fantastic. But labor and birth is something that you can't fix.
Yeah.
And so quite often men feel really useless.
Yeah. One of the reasons I'm so passionate about this is because in my work working with women with birth trauma, two things arise. Very interestingly, I remember talking to a gentleman when I was telling him what I do and that I work in, you know, with birth trauma. He said to me, I have birth trauma. He said, throughout my wife's whole labor, they didn't do anything. She was in pain and they didn't do anything. Now, looking at that as a doula, I'm like, there's nothing to do. If she doesn't ask or want pain relief, if she doesn't ask for that stuff, that's fine. She's doing it. She's coping and it's fine. He was traumatized, though, because he didn't understand that it wasn't something to fix or change, that it was just something to move through and that it was okay for her to have this pain and that she would, you know, that it would bring her baby earthside and so on. But he was traumatized because of the lack of things done. Now, when I'm working with women, there are two types of situations that occur really commonly in birth trauma. One is obstetric violence. A large number of my clients come to me having experienced obstetric violence. When I ask them, is there anyone else that you hold resentment towards or that you feel failed you or whatever it is there anyone else, you know, who are the people? A large majority of those women will say, my partner. And they feel let down. They feel like he didn't show up for them in the way that they expected him to. Now, most dads don't go into birth expecting to fail or expecting to not be enough. But the reality is that if they don't have their own support or if they don't have enough of an understanding of what their job is, it can be really easy to let that person down because they just don't know what it is that they don't know. You know, it's that unconscious incompetence, right? They're just not aware of the nuances of birth. And so for me, I I'm all about the prevention and the healing of birth trauma, and getting dads up to speed is a huge part of that prevention, right, of birth trauma. And I think dads can be so incredibly beneficial in birth. I think back to my own births. When I was hitting transition, it was my husband's hands I wanted to hold, no one else's. It was his knees I wanted to lean into. It was his hands I wanted to hold. It was him I wanted to hold me up as I, you know, birthed my baby and caught my baby in the water. He provided me with that physical strength, that absolute rock foundation. And there wasn't anyone else in the room I wanted to do that. Throughout the rest of the labor, though, his job was to make sure that the water was warm. That's it. One job. And the women who were there for me, they did all the other things. They made sure that, you know, that I was cared for with water and with, you know, the words and all of those things. They had their job. His job was that one thing, make sure the bath is warm and he did it beautifully. And when we got to transition, though, it was him that I wanted to hold on to, and he provided me with that foundation. But I understood as a doula what his strengths and weaknesses were, and I understood what he could and couldn't bring, and I had other people come in to bring what he couldn't, but that I knew I needed, right? So it's about being realistic as well about our own partner and what they can and can't bring to that situation, and making sure that we have around us the things that they can't bring, or educating and training them to be what it is that we need.
And that is huge, the education and the training. In the hospital I worked at before I became a coach, I did childbirth classes. Now, the childbirth classes weren't for the women, because everybody that came to the classes, they all had their own midwives. And I know my colleagues and the midwives would be telling them all about birth and what to prepare. They had the whole pregnancy to do that. So my job in these childbirth classes was to educate the guys. And do you know how many men absolutely loved those classes? They loved it. They had that understanding. So that's what labor's all about. So that's what's happening to your body. Talking about the behaviors, how she is going to behave, and that it's normal. And one of the comparisons I used to use is when someone is in a marathon, they are sweating, they are in pain, they are going for it. Yeah. Do we actually go on the sidelines and do we say, stop, stop that, they're in pain? No, stop, you've got to stop now. That is wrong, you're in pain, stop. Or do we encourage them? Do we go, but doing so well, awesome. What do we do when we're in labor? We encourage people, don't we? So that was a really great way for men to understand that pain in childbirth can be normal. Mm-hmm. And even if you've got the right mindset and you use your breathing, you can still reduce that pain factor big time, massively, with the hypnobirthing techniques. So by understanding that, they realize that it's nothing to be scared of, that it is a normal process.
Yeah.
So that was huge. And then giving them all these little tools that they can have in their toolbox.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Which is fantastic.
I've recently, so one of the things that I've noticed over the last 20 years has been a lot of women saying, I really wanted to home birth, but my husband didn't understand, you know, he didn't get it, or he was scared, or, and, you know, I want to have a VBAC, but my husband doesn't really, you know, he's worried about the risks. He doesn't understand, and so on. And whilst I haven't written the home births for dad's course yet, and I've started it, I've just finished the VBAC course for dads. So they can learn about what is their stuff, and it's written specifically for them, because you know you don't want men don't necessarily want to hear, well, what does a woman do in that situation? They want to know what they're supposed to do, because the partner's role is very different from the birthing mother's role. That's her role, and she's got to do that bit, but what's he supposed to do through all of this? So I really wanted, when I was creating it, I really wanted it to speak to him. And yes, it's got all the same facts and figures and all of those things, because that's universal. But what's your job, and how do you understand what's going on in her mind and what's going on during the labor that you can facilitate and do, so that you're on the same page working as a team? Because ultimately that's where it's going to come. I've often said, my husband's apathy was probably my greatest gift during birth, right? So my husband has this very matter of fact view on life, where he's like, well, you said you wanted to do that, so now you've got to do it, right? Like, I chose to home birth and here I am, I'm in some pain. And he's like, well, this is what you wanted to do, so now you got to suck it up and do it, right? So zero empathy, no compassion whatsoever. He'll you know, put water on my back and so on. But he just had this really matter of fact thought process around it. So he was never in a position where he was like, oh no, she's in pain. What am I going to do? Like, you know, I have to help her. He was just like, meh, that's what she wants to do. So I'll just be here to help her do it. And it actually meant that I didn't have to deal with any of his stuff. You know, as women, we're very in tune, and especially when we're birthing, we're really in tune with the things that are going on around us, right? If you've got a partner in there who's freaking the fuck out, then what is mum doing? She's not thinking about what she's got to do to birth this baby. She's worried about him. You know, I don't know if I learned this in my doula training very early on. If you have to go to the toilet, you go, right? Because if you're holding onto your pelvic floor, then so is mum. Because your energy is holding on, right? And so always tell dad, you got to go, because you don't want her holding on. So you need to go and you need to look after you. But that energy transference, that law, it's the law of entrainment, right? It's a law of physics, which can't be overcome. It is a law. So if you are, if the strongest energy in the room is stressed and you don't have a strong grounded energy to hold on to lean into, then you're going to find yourself following, because of the law of entrainment, you will harmonize to the strongest energy. And if that's a shitty energy, then that's going to stop you from birthing well. What was beautiful about my husband's energy was that he wasn't worried about my ability to do it, nor was he worried about whether or not I was in pain. He was just like, and he used to push me hard at the gym back in the days before we had children, right? He would be like, this is what you want. This is what we're going to do, right? And so he had no, he wasn't worried. And so I could lean into his strength and his just grounded energy because he wasn't worried. There was no worry there for me to have to think about. So even to the point where he actually left my first home birth, he left and got the canopy put on his ute, right? He had the canvas booked in to be done that day. So he went and did that, left me in the middle of labor. He was not worried at all. And he made it back with a couple of hours to spare. But, you know, just this, but he was just that strong space. And so I think that's, but I put things in place to allow that to be possible for him. I had other women in my space to be able to do the other thing so that he could do what he needed to do and what he was going to be good at. So I think having realistic expectations of our partners is really important when it comes to minimizing birth trauma that they inadvertently inflict on us because they let us down based on our expectations, and then really giving them a good foundation of knowledge and understanding so that they know how to show up and what you need, because they are not, you know, Alison Armstrong talks about women thinking that men are just hairy women, right? They're just they're hairy women. We talked about that with Jaden, I think. But if we see them as that and we expect that they know what to do innately, then, you know, we're really not treating them fairly either, and we're certainly not going to get the outcome out of them that we want. So I think that's a big part of men's role at birth is, or at least getting the most out of that, is having that prior preparation to make sure they know what to do and how it's all supposed to happen. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And you brought up a very good point with knowing your partner and knowing what they are capable of doing. And again, there's no judgment on that because you love your partner. Of course you do. You made a baby. But everybody is different. Everybody is different. And by education and by letting them know exactly what is going on. And the behaviors are really important. Behaviors matter because they see their beautiful, lovely partner, the mother of their child, in situations and in ways that they would probably seem a little bit scary in a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And to know that that's all normal, as I said before, is incredible. And to arm them with things in their toolbox, like acupressure points,
yeah,
and massaging the back and pouring water over someone's back or helping them in the shower somehow. All those little things. I'm always really big on water, huge on water. And so they're always the water boy or the water girl.
Yeah.
You know, go on. You know exactly what your husband was. He was to keep the bath temperature fine, normal.
Yeah.
Nice and warm without being too hot and not without being too cold. Just Goldilocks.
That's it.
Just Goldilocks.
That's it.
And it can be really daunting for guys. And it's only been in the last couple of generations that men have actually been allowed in. As you said, your father was the first person in Victor Harbour that actually was allowed into the birthing room.
Mm.
And that's not too long ago.
No, I'm only 47 years young. So that's not that long ago, you know?
No. No, it's not. And before that, it was all the sisterhood.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and I really wanted us to bring this to light. I really want us to talk about that, because if we can help avoid this pain that it causes, because it can be a real disconnect in the relationship moving forward. You know, if you feel let down by someone and then you're suddenly co-parenting with someone and you're, you know, this person is the person you're now relying on to help you get through postpartum, often the only person you're relying on to help you get through postpartum, because we're so segmented in our communities and isolated from each other, they can be the only person, but we're not asking them for what we want anymore because they let us down the last time we did, right? Which is really passive aggressive, but that's what we're doing, right? We're often not asking them because we're like, oh, well, I don't want to be let down again. And the last time I needed him, he let me down. And that can build resentment, that can build more and more issues within the relationship. So I guess just even bringing this to light might help some people to rethink how they prepare their partners, or how they ask their partners to be prepared, or how they ask their partners to show up for them, or even how they think about the birth experience that they've already had.
Yeah, because that's massive. One of the main tenets of my coaching, actually, is not only coaching women, it's coaching the guys as well.
100%.
Yeah.
All partners, whatever that may be.
Yes. All partners. Absolutely. Yeah. So it is really important. And it can be the most incredibly bonding experience.
Yeah.
Because they're in a love bubble together. Mm. Like, you've witnessed those childbirth experiences where they are just so much in love. They are so much into each other. They've totally got this.
Yeah.
And I call it a love bubble. It's that safety, that security, that oxytocin. You can smell it.
Yeah.
You can absolutely smell it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And to be in that love bubble, it just aids your childbirth experience. It just helps it along.
Totally. So what we're saying here, folks, is men and partners have an important place in birth, but let's be realistic about that. Let's be realistic about what it looks like, what we expect, and how we include education in that space. So really quick podcast today. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you've enjoyed, you know, hearing our thoughts and perspectives on partners at birth. And we hope you subscribe and follow along, and we'll join us next week when we hear more about partners. But next week we're talking with Chloe Mascord about sexual intimacy after birth. So you'll get a lot out of that one. Chloe is absolutely phenomenal. But we really look forward to continuing to share with you. So thank you, Pippa, for having this conversation with me. And thanks for all of you for listening along.
Yeah, thank you, Philippa. It's a really important topic, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is.
Massive.
Bye for now.
Okay, bye.